Father, though our numbers may be small, we ask that our faith would be large, and we ask that you would be with us present tonight, that you would open our minds, open our eyes, open our hearts to receive your word, and help us to believe you and to walk a life of obedience to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we covered the end of chapter 10. The writer encouraged the Hebrew Christians to persevere in the faith. They were to make a habit of remembering when they first believed, and they joyfully went through trials of physical persecution, verbal attacks, and then they had even their property robbed. When those things happened, they kept their mind on things above. They knew that they had a better possession, an eternal heavenly one. So they were to remember what they had already suffered and how God got them through it, and look forward, look to the reward. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, "If we endure, we shall also reign with Him." So we are to endure this life, looking forward to what is to come. True faith will endure, and it will be rewarded with the saving of the soul. So the writer is telling them they have need of endurance. Their faith needs to endure. The just shall live by faith. And now here in Hebrews 11 that we're starting tonight, the writer will really focus on faith and give many examples of faith from the Old Testament. So let's begin chapter 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So here in verse 1, faith is described in two parts, substance and evidence. The Greek word for substance, hypostasis, means confidence or assurance. It's usually translated confidence. I guess it depends on the translation. So the New American Standard translates that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So faith, or believing, it is confidence respecting things hoped for. So what are the things that we hope for, or what is our confidence in? Our confidence is in God. The things hoped for are the promises that He has made. Faith believes what God has promised. Faith can get us through trials. It helps us endure because we are confident in God who promised. God is faithful. He will do what He has said. We are assured of His promises. He Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So that can help us get through any trial. We know that God is with us. That's a promise. Faith is confidence in things hoped for. It's being assured that what God has said, He will perform. If He will never leave you or forsake you, then what is there to fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's not to say there's no one against us, but they don't compare with God. God is with us. God's right here. He is present. He sees what things trouble us. He knows what we're going through. We have confidence in Him and in His word, the things He has spoken and promised. We are assured that all of God's word is true. All of His promises will come to pass. Earlier in chapter 3 and chapter 4, we see that God's people, those who believe him and obey him, for them there remains a promise of entering his rest. That is part of our hope, to enter into his rest.
We have to go this way.
So God promised Abram that he would be the father of many nations. He promised Abram that his descendants would be innumerable like the stars of heaven. Abram was old at that time, and God promised that he would have a son from his own body. So Abraham believed God's promise. He didn't waver in unbelief at God's promise, but he was fully convinced that God would do exactly what he said. And this is kind of getting ahead a little bit, because the rest of chapter 11 is going to deal with many Old Testament examples of faith. But that's one example. It's fitting. The assurance, the confidence of things hoped for. It's believing God's promises, taking God at his word, and living a life that shows that you believe what he said, because God is faithful. Yeah.
I always wonder about Abraham, if he believed so much in what God was, his promise, why did he waver then and have a child with, what is it, Naomi or?
With Hagar.
Hagar, yeah. Somebody said that was common practice in those days.
It may have been, but he didn't really lose faith in the promise that God would give him a son, but he, I guess, didn't really know how that would happen and tried to make it happen on his own. Right.
But I like asking too, so I guess he figured it was okay.
Yeah, that was a little strange to our way of thinking, I guess, but and that wasn't what God had in mind either. That wasn't the son of promise.
But then he had a plan for Hagar son too, so.
It's true, he did. Okay, so faith is sufficient to get us through trials. Our trials will show us the genuineness of our faith. The testing of your faith produces patience. Tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Faith looks at not the present circumstances, but looks to the future that God has promised. God is working something. He is doing something, especially through our trials. He's still working on us. He hasn't abandoned us, but he is actually doing something for our good. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. The Greek word there is elenkos. It means proof or conviction. Faith is a conviction in reference to things not seen. We believe God's testimony concerning things we do not see. We believe it because we believe God, because it's his testimony. And God cannot lie. God cannot be deceived, and he himself cannot deceive. So we are convinced by the evidence. We are convinced by the testimony of the word of things not seen. After Jesus died and rose again, he appeared to his disciples in a closed room, but Thomas wasn't with them. And he didn't believe them. Yes? Someone knocking?
I've never seen that.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. So Thomas did not believe the testimony of the other disciples. But Jesus told Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So faith believes the testimony. Faith believes what God has spoken. It believes what his witnesses, his prophets, the apostles have said. We believe the testimony of the apostle John. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. So John was an eyewitness. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard him. He saw him with his eyes. He handled him with his hands. He touched him. He was a real person. We believe his testimony. We believe the evidence. We don't see it today. We don't see Christ walking on earth, but faith is the conviction that this testimony is true, the things we do not see. So faith deals with what God has said concerning the past, things that we ourselves have not seen, and concerning the future, things that we hope for. So how do we know what God has said? Where is the testimony or the evidence? Where are the promises to be found? That's in His Word. In His Word. Faith is believing God's Word. Faith alone can persuade us, induce us to persevere in doing and suffering the will of God. John again later wrote, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So it helps us to overcome. It does overcome the world. So the things that are not seen, that could refer to what one example was back in Noah, giving an example that he had faith. He had faith in things that were not seen. God commanded him to build an ark because he would flood the world, but there was no rain yet at that time. So Noah didn't really see these things. He didn't know what that really was, but he obeyed and walked by faith. Things not seen could also refer to the invisible God. We believe him. We don't see him, but we believe him. Things not seen could also be things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So it could refer to
what you feel in your heart.
God's plans, things he's working out that we don't see yet. So faith will willingly accept and act on things that it does not understand. We might understand to a degree, but we don't really get it all, like Noah. Or even Abraham. We're told that he was told to offer up Isaac, his son, the son that he was promised. He was told to offer him up. But later in this chapter, we're told that he believed God. He believed that he was even able to raise him from the dead. So he went through and went as far as he did until God stopped him right at the last moment. But that was something that he didn't really understand, he didn't see, but he still believed that God would keep his promise, that he would have many descendants through Isaac, even if he killed him. So the Lord will provide, is what he said there in Genesis 22. So I guess the point there was faith, it's not just in the mind, but it leads to action. And we'll see that through the rest of this chapter. Okay, by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. The Greek word here for elders is presbyteroi. We get the word presbyter from that, or elders. This word is found 66 times in the New Testament. It's always translated elder in the King James Version, except for one place in Acts 2:17, which is quoting from the Old Testament. It says, "Your old men shall dream dreams." So, elders, that word does mean older person, elderly person. In Scripture, the elders of Israel, the elders of the city, were probably older people. They were the leaders. We could think of them maybe as something like a governor of a region or a family. In the Gospels, the elders are frequently seen together with the scribes and chief priests. So at that time, they probably had some kind of spiritual authority or influence over the Israelites. And then later, after Jesus ascended, the apostles appointed elders in the churches. They were the church leaders or pastors, the overseers. But here, this, I think, is a slightly different meaning of the word. Instead of meaning older people, it would refer to people of older times. Like the NIV translates it, the ancients obtained a good testimony. So starting at verse 4 here, we see example after example, many different elders, so to speak, people who had lived long before this was written, who obtained a good testimony. And these are the elders in mind, the people mentioned throughout Scripture, the Old Testament. So by faith, these ancient people obtained a good testimony or a good report. Who gave this testimony? The people around them didn't necessarily hold high opinions of them or even their descendants. We're told that God himself gave them a good testimony. It's his report, his word. So we see later in verse 4, Abel, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Then in verse 5, we see that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. So God approved of these people because of their faith. God is pleased with faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. So that is the only way to please him. Without faith, we can't please God. If we don't believe God, we can't really do anything that he likes. We have to believe him. If there's some person in your life that never believes a thing you say, are you ever pleased with what they do then?
Just talking at
them. Right. So all the people mentioned through the rest of the chapter, they all exercised their faith differently. Abel offered a sacrifice. Enoch pleased God. Noah prepared an ark. Abraham went to a foreign land. Sarah bore a child. So they all did different acts of faith, but they all did exercise faith. They all did obey God's command. And so they were all assured of God's promises. They were convinced of things that they hadn't yet seen. So verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith we understand. We don't understand by our own knowledge, our own intuition, or our own thoughts. We understand by faith. We understand by believing what God has said. The worlds were framed by the word of God. This could refer to creation. Many take this view that it's talking about creation. God's word tells us that God has clearly shown himself in creation. Romans 1:20 says that since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen, even his eternal power and Godhead, his divine nature, so that men are without excuse. And Psalm 19 begins saying that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So even the heavens are pictured as testifying to God's and his creative power. There is a God who made all these things. So creation is one of the things not seen. There was no person around to witness it. Mankind could not ever determine how God created the world. The only reason we know it is by believing his revelation, what he's told us. The things which are seen would be this physical realm, the earth, matter, things that we see with our eyes. They were not made of things which are visible. God created everything out of nothing. We understand this by faith. We understand this by being assured that what God said about how he created the world is true. So he spoke. That's how he created. So in Psalm 36, at verse 6, Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So that talks about him speaking by his word. He spoke the heavens. He spoke the hosts of them, the stars, all of creation. Again, we see that in the creation narrative in Genesis 1, God spoke, and it was done. He said, let there be light. There was light. He spoke the world into existence. But this is something that we understand by faith. It's not something that mankind would understand on their own. Without God telling us how he made the world, we would just invent other things as mankind has done.
I don't think he's going to do that.
So, this world word for worlds in the Greek is aeonis, we get the word eons from that, or ages. So sometimes it's worlds, sometimes it's ages. It is plural here, so it may not be speaking necessarily of the created world, the earth. Sometimes it does mean that, but other times this word can mean ages. So these, the worlds were framed by the word of God. It's not limited to the physical universe, but also its times and operations. God has ordered things throughout all the ages. So again, in Psalm 33, continuing on, it says, the Lord makes the plans of the people of no effect. He brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. But the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart, the plans of his heart to all generations.
The word world?
Worlds.
Worlds, yeah, is that like the planets?
It can also mean ages, is what I'm getting at here, rather than just the earth. Since it is worlds, it's more than one. It would seem to fit better to be like time.
The first was destroyed. The worlds.
Well, yeah. But he is in charge of all the times of the earth, all the seasons, all the ages. He was in charge before time began. He was in control before the time of the flood. He was in control after that. He is in control now in this present evil age. He is in control. He always will be in control. He will be in control in the world to come. So we understand this by faith, that God works all things according to the counsel of his will. He has a plan that he is carrying out throughout time. He is working all things to the praise of his glory. So we understand this by faith, the things which are seen, the things that we see taking place in time. All these things are ordered by the word of God. He's carrying out his plan. And by faith, we are convinced, we are assured that God and his plan is taking place. That's about all I got for verse 3 here. I've read on, I've started more, but I haven't really got the next section prepared yet all the way, so I think it's best to hold off. I know it's early tonight, but well, let's just say I had several interruptions today, but by faith I believe that God knows what he's doing, so we'll pick up at verse 4 next week. We'll look at Abel first. He was the first example, I guess, in Scripture of one who had faith after the creation of the world. And just looking through this chapter 11, it's almost all in chronological order. And it gives Abel, then Enoch, then Noah, Abraham, and Sarah in conceiving the son that was promised, and then Abraham offering up that son, and then Isaac himself, by faith, he blessed his sons, And Jacob, his son, blessed his sons, each of them. Joseph, again, was an example of faith. Then, some 400 years later, Moses was on the scene. So all this seems to kind of go pretty much in order till we get to the time of, I didn't really check, I'm not that familiar with the order of the judges, but in verse 32 it mentions David before Samuel, so that would be a little reversal, but they were alive at the same time anyway, so that's pretty much in order that we see. So in verse 3 here we have kind of the ages. We have beginning with creation, I suppose. We believe this by faith, that how God said that he created is what actually happened. And then we kind of go through the history of humanity of specifically the Israelites after that point. So we go just kind of go through that history by faith and see the things that they performed through their faith, the things that God worked through them. Okay, so we'll get more into that next week.
Okay. Short and to the point.
Okay. Did you have any other questions or?
No.
Okay. Father, we ask that you do continue our faith. You keep working this faith in us. Help us to believe. Help us to live a life that shows we believe. So help our belief not just to be in our mind, but help us to walk in the steps of the faith of the patriarchs, the faith of Abraham, the faith of all of your saints. Help us to look back to their examples and help us to look forward to your promises because you are faithful. So help us to realize that this faith is not dependent on us, but it depends on you and your faithfulness. And thank you again. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being true. And thank you for giving us your word. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.